This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sounds sacrilegious, but North Carolina is now pivoting to football. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and it's the best decision they ever made. It's the smartest decision they ever made. And I'm saying that about the place that Michael Jordan made even more famous than it already was. I'm saying that about the amazing pedigree of North Carolina, and it's a basketball school. Good morning, Perloff. It's now a football school. Bill Belichick is their head coach.
Okay. So hiring Bill Belichick is the smartest move that the University of North Carolina that had Dean Smith and Roy Williams ever made.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because you want to know why? There was a saying that was kind of popular for a while. I don't know if it still is. And the saying was, the future is female. The future is football. The current and future is football. And you and I talk about it, and we've talked about how the NCAA tournament has become kind of a one-month sport. And I get there are diehard North Carolina fans, and I know there are people who live and die with every single one of their games, whether they're playing Duke or whether they're playing Colgate. I get that. But there is a reality here that the future is football. And North Carolina figured that out with this hire. And maybe it just got fortuitous, and maybe it was just that Belichick was interested, and maybe they don't even deserve credit. But I'll give it to them, because this is from the school's aspect. This is a potential sleeping giant of a program. One that, because the basketball program has been the thing, has never, I don't think, expected that their team would be contending for national titles. That was never the goal. The goal is to win the NCAA tournament. The goal is to beat Duke. Now the goal is to win in college football, which puts you in a totally different stratosphere in this current sports climate.
Yeah, so that's why the Tulane coach was like, nah, I don't really even need to talk to you guys, because let's face it, you're North Carolina football, and nothing's going to change. You might make the playoff with Bill Belichick. You'll probably go 9-3 a bunch of years. This is never going to be the thing. It's not going to be. You're trying to make it a thing. It's not a thing. North Carolina football is not going to be a thing.
It will be a thing now, because I think this is going to
work.
Think
he's going to go on a Nick Saban-like run?
I think he's going to go on a run.
Define work, by the way.
I'm going to define work for you, because we're talking about Bill Belichick taking the North Carolina job, and I think this is what it means to be working in this day and age in college football. You have to be competing for the ACC championship / winning the ACC championship.
Wow.
And you have to be going to the college football playoff, which, by the way, for Bill Belichick, ever expanding. 12 teams now, 14 probably, maybe next year, maybe in 2 years, 16, I bet, in 4 years. He signed a five-year deal for $50 million.
So what if he makes the 16-team playoff? That's going to be like, this is supposed to be the greatest coach of all time.
Okay,
that is not to me
in the
like,
tournament.
That is not, you're putting yourself in the tournament. It's like, it's getting to be like the NCAA basketball tournament. If you go to 16, that's going to mean less and less. Like, is that all worth it? Like, he's foregoing the NFL to try and make a 16-team college football tournament?
And then
be one of the top 16 teams in the country?
Yes.
Big deal.
See, that's so crazy to me. Like, what's the bar in the sport you're in? Here's the thing about Belichick. He goes to college, and if this works like I think it's going to, there's nothing that he can do now to win more NFL games. He's now the take all that away. The Shula record, all that stuff,
right.
It's gone. You have to judge the man by the water that he's in, right? The man who's swimming in the water that he's in. So if he's in college, judge him how you would judge other college coaches, which is getting to the playoff and having a shot in the playoff and maybe getting a bye and maybe winning and getting to the Final Four, maybe winning the championship. Yes, that's how we would judge Dan Lanning. That's how we would judge Kirby Smart now. This is how we would
judge. That's definitely not how you judge Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart's title or bust. Making the playoff for Kirby Smart means nothing.
Well, okay, well, he also has a head start because it's Georgia versus North Carolina. And Bill Belichick's going to try to close that gap. But this is how we would judge all the guys who are in the 12-team playoff now, maybe except for Kirby and Dabo because they've already won national titles. You now judge Bill Belichick how you would judge these other guys. And you judge him harshly, so, by the way. Yes, the expectations should be massive for Belichick.
You're judging Bill Belichick on the same scale with Dan Lanning.
Yes, because they're now coaching
the same
sport.
Bill Belichick's on the Mount Rushmore of football coaches. Dan Lanning is a promising college guy. Like,
College guy. He's got the number one seed in the tournament.
Mount Rushmore. I'm talking like, you're talking Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, Paul Brown, Bill Walsh, that kind of guys.
Yeah.
And now you're judging him against, Steve Sarkisian right now. Like, this is not, like, he's in the wrong pool, Maggie. Like, yeah, compared to those guys, like, he's going to go probably like 9-3 at North Carolina, and the media is going to fall all over themselves. But, like, really, who cares? He's just like a slightly better Mac Brown.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I think that he's going to be a factor in college. You don't. So I think it's not going to be 9-3.
He might make the playoffs because he's playing nobody. I mean, his schedule, I looked at North Carolina's schedule, it's a complete joke. And that's the only key to making the playoff is to have no good opponents. That's the number one thing you can do. So he might win. He might go 10-2, and they'll give him the edge to get in the playoff 1 year, and then he'll probably lose to Georgia, and then it'll all go away in 3 years, and we'll be starting at ground zero.
Okay, I don't think it's going to be that dire, but I love how you look at this. All these things that you think are negatives, I think were strategic by Belichick. This is why North Carolina is a sleeping giant for someone like Belichick. You've got the pedigree of the school. You obviously, now they're finding the money, guys. So they weren't finding the money for the football program, but now they're going to find the money because Belichick's going to obviously invigorate the, you know, you're going to get, first of all, you're actually going to get revenue sharing, which is coming just like in the NFL. So you're starting basically with revenue share and then put NIL on top of it. So you're going to have some money. And he's smart to take this job because the ACC is still a Power Four. It's not on par with the SEC and the Big Ten, but they did get two teams into this playoff. They got both of their champion and the runner-up into this 12-team playoff. And this is smart of him. You know, you're coming into college coaching for the first time. You are doing the right thing by not doing the gauntlet of the SEC. Because this is smart by Belichick. Guys, this is like one of the most, not just smartest football coaches, Belichick's a mastermind. Do we not understand? He's got every angle. He may not win every game, but if you don't think he has every angle locked up on this and the fact that going to the ACC was part of that angle, I got to beat Dabo. I've got to beat Miami, Syracuse. I've got to beat Louisville. Belichick's licking his chops on this. It's all strategic. Like, guys, he was out of football for 1 year. He didn't go into a nursing home. He's still the most cutthroat, villain, heel turn. Belichick's got every angle. And he saw North Carolina and was like, guys, this one I can do. I can work with this. That's how I see it for Belichick.
I see it as he looked around the marketplace and said, no NFL team wants me. I have to take some job. Listen, North Carolina can't get the big-time college coaches. They're not going to want to go there because it's a flawed program that will always put basketball first. Yes, I understand, like, they'll probably have a good record because Mac Brown always had a good record. Didn't he go 9-4 every year? The ACC is pretty bad. But generally, like, this is kind of sad. Like, if I told you in 2018, after they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, that in 5 years, Bill Belichick is going to be, you know, taking the North Carolina job after a bunch of people said no, you would have been like, God, what the heck happened?
Listen, we'll get to the NFL side of this, and I think people are making a mistake, but the NFL is operating where front offices, much like in baseball, where in some ways front offices are kind of becoming a little bit more important in some ways than the actual coaching staff. In college, it's the opposite. Yeah, the players.
Well, not anymore.
The players have a little bit more power, that's for sure, because they can get paid. But the head coach is the program. He's the top.
Right.
So it's perfect for Belichick.
Well, no, Belichick is arguing like this is now it's much more like the NFL where you can pay for your players. So you don't need the cult of personality at the top, which he obviously does not have.
No, but he also doesn't have the Rich McKays of the world. And the other people have sidled up to the owner who are just trying to keep their job in these front offices who aren't doing their job well. Like, he will still be at the top of the food chain. Even though you have to pay the players, he's going to set the standard for the culture. There's not going to be a war of, you know, of like power struggle.
Right, but the balance has dramatically shifted in college football where the coach is much less powerful. Like the coach used to be walk on the field and you had to do what he said or you're in big trouble.
Sure, sure.
Now the players have all the power and they're bound by contracts, by NIL. So it's much more like NFL where it's a difficult situation. Belichick's going to get in there and he's going to want to bench guys. The problem is those bench guys that they're paying all this money for are just going to go back into the portal. So he's not really going to be able to coach like he used to. I mean, that's why his buddy Nick Saban left the game.
Oh, I get it. But you can't leave the team mid-season, right?
So, right, right. But generally, though, like you can't coach hard like you used to. Like,
well, but here's the thing. I've seen that a little bit about the idea that Belichick can't be cursing out guys and all of that, right?
Or benching them.
Or that's benching guys. But here's the thing again. Like you just said it. You signed a contract to be there. Right. So if you bench a guy, I guess he could leave the team, like the dude at UNLV what didn't get benched, but the quarterback right. just like decided he wanted to save his eligibility and like shut himself down, I guess. But once you're in that contract, he's got you for the year.
Right, right. But the key to college football, I think, is developing guys. Like you get them in as freshmen, then they're okay. Sophomores are pretty good. Then a junior, senior, they're really good.
Right.
Like that's not going to happen anymore.
Well, because maybe, but I would say is there somebody who's more suited to have a team of free agents than Belichick, who actually has dealt with free agency for the last 25, 30 years? Like the other part, too, about the Belichick coaching guys hard, this is where I think this is not going to be as big a problem as people think. I know young people today may be a little bit more, what do we like to say, a little more sensitive. Everyone's a little bit more into that. There's no surprises with what you're getting from Bill Belichick. You can't sign up to go play at North Carolina and expect that you are getting a hug. You know what you're signing up for. It'd be like going to play for Bobby Knight and expecting a hug. Like going to play for Mike Krzyzewski and expecting a hug. You also have to take a little responsibility as the player and the people around the player. Can you handle this? Does this make you better? Can you?
Wait.
And by the way, it's not like Nick Saban to get on people's behinds. Or
yeah,
Kirby Smart does,
that's
too.
Why he's gone.
But
like,
Kirby Smart
Saban
does?
Thought he couldn't get on guys' behind anymore. You know, the thing is, I don't think these young kids have any idea who Bill Belichick is. So they're not going for the cult of Belichick. They're going for the money. So they're there for the money in the first place. I'm being honest. Like, I think a 17-year-old recruit does not know who Bill Belichick is. A lot of the college kids don't follow the NFL that close.
All right. So I've heard that, too, right? Like, who, you know, we always joke around that Manny, our producer here, thinks all of human history started in the year 2000.
That's a joke.
I get it. No, Manny actually thinks that, actually. As far as he's concerned, human history began in the year 2000. I understand that. But it's not like Bill Belichick has been on ice for this whole time that we don't see, you know, that we don't understand that the Patriots were a dynasty. Tom Brady is as famous as anybody. Like, even if you weren't there to see Adam Vinatieri kicking game-winning field goals in the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick is such a celebrity now, and he's so associated with winning that I think even a 17-year-old has to understand who Belichick is.
Can you imagine a 17-year-old? I mean, listen, it's been a long time since I was 17, but thinking Bill Belichick was cool, like that's crazy. Why, if that's your you know, your consideration, once you go out to Dion, like, why would any 17-year-old want to have anything to do with any of this?
Okay, I'll tell you another reason why Belichick is going to work, and this is what we're talking about here with North Carolina this morning. This is why it's going to work, even if he doesn't have the personality of Dion, no doubt, although people say behind the scenes he's much better, but who knows? And the 17-year-olds, I know, and the 17-year-olds and all that. He can give the pitch that John Calipari used for a long time until it didn't work with John. Well, maybe still did, but John Calipari had a pitch. And John Calipari's pitch was, come to me and I'll put you in the NBA. Or you could go down the block and you might get there, but I'll definitely get you there. I think Bill Belichick, more than a Steve Sarkisian or a Dan Lanning or... Listen, Kirby
well,
is...
Sark gets guys in the NFL, but yeah, I know what you mean. He's part of the Belichick machine.
But Kirby Smart is the one guy who could say, like, I'll get you there, right? You go to Georgia, you're going to the NFL. Bill Belichick, I think, can tell guys, I know exactly what it takes to get you to the NFL, and I can get you to the NFL. And that's something that Kalen DeBoer can't say, and that's something that a lot of these guys cannot say.
I think that's a zero factor, because I think it's 100% the money. Like, that's why Belichick's like, you better increase my NIL fund, because obviously I'm not going to recruit anybody. Like,
right.
He hired Mike Lombardi.
Dion doesn't go into living rooms. Dion doesn't go to high schools.
But Dion was definitely, like, part of the 7-on-7 community. He had been a college coach before he went into Colorado. Like, Dion, mostly because of his kids, knew the game. Belichick's not going to recruit. Like, Belichick has no idea what's going on the recruiting trail. And he hired Mike Lombardi as his GM, who knows even less. I mean, Mike Lombardi is as NFL. He's as NFL a guy as there ever was. So I just think that they're going to have to buy players. And then when you buy players, you run into the situation like, yeah, somebody else, if they're good, someone's going to pay up even more next year. But you got to go back into the portal to get the new NIL deal. I think it's going to be tough for him to keep this roster together. Again, since it's North Carolina, you're going to play the terrible, terrible, terrible ACC.
Yep, all play on purpose, guys. Yeah. All on purpose. Well, winnable games on a schedule. We just learned in this college football playoff, it doesn't matter really how you get there.
Right, but I mean, honestly, like, is anybody going to care about North Carolina football if they're 9-3? I mean, everyone, the media will bend over backwards, just like they did with Dion for Belichick. But at the end of the day, they're not going to be a huge factor. Like, even if they get to the playoff because of this easy schedule, you know they're going to lose to Alabama or Georgia at some point.
I don't know that now.
I do.
I don't know that.
Oh, I do. I know that these ACC teams that are in this field right now are eventually going to lose to better teams.
Well, here's the thing, though. This has become, with college football, this has become a sport now, like a lot of, like all professional sports, where it's all about the postseason. So if they are 9-3, but they are making the postseason,
right,
that's the only thing that matters. That's it. And this is why Belichick is smart with this thing.
He's Bill Belichick. Like, it's like making the wild card out of the AFC South. That's like the equivalent of the ACC. Like, is that some giant achievement? Yes, we'll say, oh, look, he got North Carolina to the playoff. First of all, I don't think he's making the playoff either. I mean, you have to be, as EJ will tell you, you kind of have to be perfect in this division. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. And also, I think the way this 12-team playoff plays out, and when the bigger schools win, I think they're going to be nervous about the smaller schools next year.
But North Carolina's not a small school. It's got a national brand, a national footprint. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, no disrespect to SMU. They're putting themselves back on the map here. SMU had to beg to get into the ACC. North Carolina is one of the crown jewels of the ACC. Like, you don't have to...
Because of their basketball program.
Okay, but now it's going to be about the football program. And I really do think that the Belichick factor, mix this with a extremely well-known college program with now a celebrity head coach that, to be honest, I know Mac Brown is a very accomplished head coach, but like, my mom doesn't know who Mac Brown is. My mom definitely knows who Bill Belichick is.
Yeah,
he's just been around. It's just a different type of fame.
Right, but I think where the players are, Florida, Texas, California, I think Belichick's a giant in the Northeast. I'm not sure, like, where the families are and the players are, care that much about Bill Belichick. I really don't think.
855-212-4227. I think it's going to work. Perloff thinks it's not. So you don't think they're making the playoff at all?
No, I think they could make the playoff. Like, I mean, they could be this year Clemson. They could sneak into the conference title game and be 9-3. But like, at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to make any real difference. I think it's going to be closer to Bill Walsh and his last run at Stanford than any, you know, like winning a title like Nick Saban. I'd be shocked. I would count me shocked. If North Carolina football wins a national title with Bill Belichick, then I'll take your pancake eating bet. I'll take any. Like, I just don't see it happening.
I'd love for you to take that.
I get it. Like, North Carolina, I definitely get it from North Carolina's point of view. I really think that Belichick should have gone back to the NFL.
Well, we'll talk about the NFL side of it, because there may not have been a spot. 855-212-4227, as odd as that may sound, guys with 6 Super Bowl rings can't get a head coaching gig in the NFL. But we'll unpack the NFL side. We got a massive game tonight, by the way, for our fans in San Francisco. You guys are hosting what almost feels like a de facto, not a win and you're in, but as close as it can be, to try to keep playoff hopes alive for both the Rams and the 49ers. So we got that for you and so much more. 855-212-4227. Bill Belichick. Is it going to work?
Welcome
or is
back,
it going to be
Maggie
a disaster
Perloff show.
At North Carolina? Let us
talk about Bill Belichick. I mean, who needs the NFL when you have a program that is known more for its violations than its actual wins?
No.
North Carolina football is the lamest history of any program ever. They have a lot of great pros, ironically, but they've never really gotten together, because I think until now, systematically, everyone in that campus wants the basketball team to be good and puts the football team second, kind of like Kentucky. We'll see. Now it probably switches to some degree, although I assume basketball is still quite important to all the fans there.
No, of course it is. There's a legacy, but football's king, guys. And North Carolina they do have the resources. Yeah. They do have the pedigree. It is an attractive place to play. It's got all the things you'd want. It's just kind of been, I don't want to say it's been neglected. That's not true. Mack Brown is there. That's too strong. But it hasn't maybe been given the love that it needed. It's almost like you're in a marriage, you know, and it feels like North Carolina football, like they're on year 20. Still love each other, but are they really going out of their way to get flowers? Are they really going out of their way to make sure their, you know, wives or husbands are feeling extra special? It's like, no, they're kind of just going through the motions. This is a newfound, like a shakeup in the relationship.
I think this is going to sound snooty. I think North Carolina doesn't want to be Clemson. I think that they always said, like, I think it's a Notre Dame situation where academics, they want to compete with Duke. And I think that football, when you're a big football program, it doesn't make you look like an academic powerhouse. It makes you look like Clemson or Alabama. I don't think they've ever wanted that image as a football school.
I mean, got a hard disagree there. I don't think anyone thinks that Michigan is not a good academic institution. I don't think anyone thought Stanford wasn't when they had Jim Harbaugh and Andrew Luck. I think you can be both.
Oh, my God.
I think you can be both.
Well, I don't think college people view it that way.
But football is so far now from, like, no disrespect, but college football and the Power Fours feels so far away from the academic side. And maybe that's because we're in our sandbox here of just the sports. But, you know, going to class and all that, the fact that they are getting paid now and a lot of guys are just on campus for maybe a year just feels like we've kind of sacrificed the academic side when you're getting to this level of high college sports.
Yeah, but I feel like Duke would never turn on the faucet for the football team. They just would not do that. And I feel like North Carolina, a lot of people there are always looking at Duke academically. Like, that is a huge part of that campus, is to compete with them. I just think when you become a football school, you become different. And you're right, you said Michigan. I mean, there's like two schools. The Notre Dame academic football balance has been a massive problem there. Not a problem if you want to win football games, until they're like, forget it. We're going to bring in all the top recruits, academics be darned, with Marcus Freeman. Like, you don't think that's an issue?
No, because it's just like Michigan, North Carolina to me are very similar because they're both state schools, but they have this outstanding reputations in terms of academics. And I don't think that's the standard by which the football program is going to be judged. And I think we've all kind of become okay with that.
You're crazy if you think Stanford can recruit like other schools.
No, but when Jim Harbaugh was there, no one was saying, oh my gosh, look at these, you know, meatheads. It's still Stanford.
They definitely were hamstrung in ways that other programs are not.
But their academic reputation didn't take a hit because the football program was good.
I think on a more subtle way, like, North Carolina has not wanted to be that school. I mean, I think they've never really invested in their football program. I think right now UCLA doesn't want to be that school. I don't know if USC wants to be that school. Like, I don't think every school is like, let's put all the money we can into the football program. I think that there are some schools that maybe prioritize different things. I think that's why you have some schools that just go all out for football and some schools don't. Notre Dame, by the way, for a long time, they brought in Marcus Freeman. They're like, all right, we're taking off all the handcuffs. You can bring in anyone you want. We're not going to give you a hard time on grades. Why do you think Brian Kelly's down at LSU?
No, he said that academics were part of it, right? He wanted to be able to recruit in a wider swath. But again, the sport's changing so rapidly here where it just becomes, I think, so much more about the money and getting guys in and like trying to fudge their GPAs and stuff. I think it just means a lot less. And I think there's not an altruistic answer here, guys. It's about the money. That's it. It's about the money. And I think North Carolina, I would not follow Duke in this respect. I would not. Because here's the thing. You've said this a lot, and I think you're on to something. I just don't know how quickly it's going to happen. Are we going towards a place where we really just have two power conferences? Where college football eventually becomes a little more like the NFL with the AFC and the NFC? And, you know, you don't want to be caught without a chair when the music stops. When it comes to football, and football has led the way on conference realignment from day one. And so I think it's important for places like North Carolina to have celebrity coaches. It helps you. You and I talked about this when Florida State got screwed last year and did not get into the Final Four college football playoff. We said if Deion Sanders was coaching Florida State, would they have gotten in even if they were down to the third string quarterback? And I think we both believe the answer is yes. Bill Belichick's celebrity helps North Carolina with getting in at an at-large bid that might be on the fence, with whatever's going to happen with conference realignment. I think it matters up and down the program.
Maybe the program, but does it matter up and down the campus? That's sort of what I'm at. Like, does North Carolina, you know, is it going to mean as much as basketball? I think bringing Bill Belichick makes it a lot closer. But you look at, there are schools that, like, Wake Forest is like the hottest school in the country. Everyone talks about it. It's like impossible to get into now. It's become like the Harvard of the South or whatever.
Yeah.
Their football always stinks. Like, they have not built it on football. They could easily be left without a chair.
Pogge took exception.
Wait,
to
yeah,
that.
Wake Forest. Like, have you heard about
you
like the Wake Forest
alum?
Like demand thing?
That's my boy Dave Clawson. He was the Fordham coach. I was a student. He's the head coach there. He's done a great job.
Well, yeah, but they're not like competing for the national title, and they're
no,
still like
the, it's the
like,
tiniest school in the ACC, right?
Right, right. But their academics like are crazy in demand. USC is the same way. Their football has gone down, and USC has become the hardest school in the country to get into. It's bizarre. So I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm not making this up. Like, North Carolina has not prioritized football. That there's no argument about that.
That ended yesterday.
Well, yeah, but it kind of like fell into their lap. I don't even think he was their first choice. I think if the Tulane guy had said, I'm interested, then we'll see. And also, too, this is what, how big
this is the difference. The Tulane guy, he doesn't even get a name,
right,
John
like,
Sumrall. But Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick.
Right, right. But how
it's
long
not a
is
competition.
This? What kind of window are we talking about here? Like a 3-year glory time for North Carolina football?
Sure.
And then what happens?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the rumors you read. It might be on to Steve Belichick. I have no idea if we're doing nepotism to that level and what's happening. But for now, enjoy it.
But enjoy what?
I think they're going to be competing for national titles.
This year.
Do you give someone a 1-year grace period to figure things out? I think you're going to notice right away. I do. Mm.
I don't know how this
competing goes. Competing for national titles year one, I think, is that's a little crazy.
Let's see what
happens year two.
I mean, listen, we'll look at their schedule. Like, they could be the Indiana of next year, for sure. I get it. But I don't even know, forget all this. Like, I don't even know how good a college football coach Bill Belichick is going to be. Like, I know he was amazing in the NFL. I feel like, are all the same principles applying to the college game?
Think about it. When we have this debate sometimes, who was the better coach, Nick Saban or Bill Belichick?
Yeah,
what do we always say?
Well, Belichick because he was in the NFL.
Exactly, because like, how many point spreads did Nick Saban go into a game where he was favored by 3 touchdowns? You know, like
right.
And Bill Belichick, you know, if there's anyone favored by more than a touchdown in the NFL, it's like a big deal. That's considered a giant spread. So, I don't know. I think that going from the NFL, I'm not saying it's down a peg like in a bad way. I just think that you're going to the lower division, quite frankly.
Yeah,
where a lot of games you're going to win just by stepping on the field.
I think it's a, sort of a different game, though. So you're almost, in a sense, coaching 2 different games. I don't know if the way college, you know, obviously there's some rules that are different. The hash marks are different. It just feels like it's hard to compare the two. I don't know that everything he did in New England is going to translate as easily.
I kind of think in our business, it's like hosting a terrestrial radio show like we do here every morning. And we're so thrilled to be with you and on Infinity Sports Network. Check out Maggie and Perloff on our
can't wait to see where this goes.
YouTube, Twitch.
I'm
it's like going
as well.
From what we do to say we just hosted a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
People would be like, well, they're radio hosts. Do they know how to host a podcast? Like, we know what to do. I feel the same way for football.
But
we're all doing audio here.
Who's done this NBA. Well?
That's Carroll.
That's the big question.
Pete Carroll.
But he
give me
failed
somebody
in
else.
The NFL, though. Like I think
failed
that's,
in the NFL. He wasn't
at first.
No, before.
Oh, yes.
He was a failure
the
in the NFL.
Harbaugh.
That's
Jim Harbaugh.
Reason why.
To be fair, everyone failed.
Carroll
the
and Harbaugh.
But Jim Harbaugh started in college before he went to the NFL and then went back. He's a college guy before going back to the NFL.
Yeah, so, okay, you're asking who's only been NFL and then gone down.
There's very few guys.
Okay, yeah, I'll take anybody that's done both jobs well in any order.
Harbaugh and Carroll being
right.
Your arguments.
And that's two.
Yeah, two guys.
But that's
two
guys. I think
Bill Belichick belongs in that category. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
When those guys were doing it and when other guys like the Charlie Weisses of the world and the other guys who have failed, college football wasn't what it is now. It is professional football now. And so Belichick's walking into a way different sport than you know, some of those other guys, that Mike Riley or whatever you want to say.
But there was, I think, for all these guys we talked about who were NFL head coaches who were successful, or even NFL OCs and DCs who were successful and went to the college game, there was a thought that those guys simply with their NFL knowledge would come down and run rings around these college football coaches just from an X and O standpoint. And they just don't. I don't know why. What's wrong.
Should Lovie Smith have been more successful at Illinois? I don't know why either. Herm Edwards.
Yeah, so that's the thing for me. It's like,
Herm had no rules.
I wonder if you just have too much of that NFL in your blood that just doesn't make the transition work when you go down to that level. Like, I think, again, if you're a Harbaugh, you're a Carroll, where maybe you've already failed in the NFL level, you failed in the NFL level, you may be more open to, like, new ideas, new ways to coach. I think that's a little different than if you're Bill Belichick, 8-time Super Bowl head coach, and then you go down to college. And I think it's a different world.
Yeah, and I think part of it is who you're dealing with. I mean, Belichick was dealing with 80 professionals, 80 mostly adults. Now he's dealing with an 18-year-old kid who might not be there next year because he wants a Range Rover. Like, I don't know, man. He was already seemed to hate coaching NFL players, and now he's coaching babies. I don't have expectations for this.
All right, let's get to some headlines. Andrew Bogish has them all for us.
Those headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's heating up, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. I was told there would be revenge. There was not.
Trey bouncing it out near midcourt. Now he takes it right wing, towards the middle. Underneath, and a slam dunk by DeAndre Hunter. And the Hawks lead down 103-89. Thibodeau doesn't even call timeout.
Because it wouldn't have mattered, Steve Holman on Hawks Radio. Atlanta cruising into the NBA Cup semifinals with a 108-100 win over the Knicks at the Garden. Trey Young pumped to move on to Vegas.
I just think the stakes and what the Cup brings automatically just kind of, I mean, juices everybody up a little bit more, and that's why these games are so fun and so intense.
Young had 22 points and 11 assists through the boos and curses from Knicks fans. He and the Hawks will face the Bucks in Vegas on Saturday. That'll be the first semifinal. The nightcap is Thunder Rockets, Perloff.
I've never seen a player who is more well-known in two cities than Atlanta and New York for Trae Young, and the rest of the country just could care less about. There's never, like, I watched the game last night. It was like, he's back. Trae Young is back. I'm like, you know, when Trae Young goes to Portland or Oklahoma City, people are like, who's this guy?
He's from Oklahoma City.
Wow, Oklahoma City.
Norman.
No, they don't care about him either.
But yeah, it's funny. Like, there's a special buzz with Trae Young and the Knicks for one playoff series. They've lost to other guys before, too. I don't need to point that out to you, EJ.
I have literally witnessed being in Yankee Stadium and a bleep Trae Young chant broke out. I was like, what month is it?
It's so bizarre that there was like real energy around Trae Young on that weird court last night.
You didn't mention basically his version of flag planting that happened in the middle of the court.
What a weirdo.
He went to the middle of the court of Madison Square Garden after they won and pretended to roll dice on the court as I'm going to Vegas, you're not. Like, playing craps.
Like, I like it.
Hey, you know what's going to be great? In 5 months when Trae Young's been eliminated from the playing tournament, and he's like, hey, remember when I beat the Knicks in the qualifier?
EJ.
I don't know, EJ. Wow. EJ. Right,
the year's going to be
this is sad,
the year's
EJ. 20,
the year's going to be 2035, and he's going to be like, hey, guys, remember in 2024 when I beat the Knicks in the quarterfinals?
Remember, DJ, he's going to be on the Knicks in 2035.
I've never seen a player live off of something so little for his entire career like Trae Young.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally?
He's a loser. He's such a loser.
Now, technically, you guys lost last night.
Well, whatever. I've never seen a fan base who streams on a Broadway and has a parade after winning Game 3 against the Hawks.
Not a fan base.
No,
EJ
no, no.
EJ and
all
Manny
of
yesterday were like, we're coming for you, Trae Young. And I was like, yeah, no big deal. He's a loser.
Over-celebrate early playoff wins. Like, yes, neither team has been a factor in a long, long time.
No, it wasn't a celebratory thing, Bogus. It's we can't stand this guy.
Yeah.
So we want to kick his ass. I don't care about him. That's what's so annoying.
Ooh, it sounds like you care.
No, I don't. Because it's like, yo, bro, like, your team is terrible. You're going to get eliminated again, whether in the play-in tournament or not even making the playoffs. And you make the Knicks your freaking Super Bowl. Like, give it up. We don't care about you anymore. Move on.
I think you should worry
you
more
cared
about
yesterday.
Yeah.
I believe your ass's grass was said starting Monday. I think. I was like, man, I think EJ's going to say it again. Yep, his ass is grass. You're into it.
The year will be 2040. He's on Bronny James's podcast. Hey, guys. Remember when I beat the Knicks that one time? Hey, guys.
And you'll be putting it on our rundown to play an update.
I'm telling you, I think he'll be on the Knicks by 2040, but that's my...
Why do you guys worry about Jaylen Brown and like some of the good players? Like, why are you worried about this guy in the 13 seed? It's bizarre.
Burloff, this is harassment. I'm sorry, I'm not a woman, but this feels like harassment with this guy. Like, I don't care about, I hate him because he won't get out of my face. Leave me alone.
Well, I mean, it's probably just because he wins.
Mm. Oh, he doesn't even win. We've beaten him like 10 times in a row before this year.
Jalen Brunson could have taken care of this for you, but he did not.
Can I just say one thing? The Atlanta Hawks are the North Carolina football, the NBA. They will be 9-3 until the cows come home. They have never been relevant to anybody else. In fact, they're only relevant to New York because in Atlanta, they care about Georgia football. They could care less about Trae
Young. Isn't sports awesome? What else you got, Bo?
The Rockets also moved on last night, sneaking past Golden State 91-90 on Jalen Green's free throws with 3.5 seconds left. They came off a loose ball foul with multiple players on the court fighting for possession on the other end of the floor. Not one single Warrior liked the call. Here is Steph Curry.
In that type of situation, there's a feel of like who got to the ball first. I mean, if you're telling me it was a clear foul, then I'll shut up, but I don't think that's the case.
Curry scoring 19 in the loss. LeBron's away from the Lakers for personal reasons right now. It's unclear if he'll play tomorrow night in Minnesota. The Lakers are in a stretch of just 2 games in 10 days, so there are worse times to take a break. It's not just 72-year-old Bill Belichick. It is 61-year-old Rich Rodriguez, reportedly on the verge of returning to West Virginia. Raise your hand if you knew that Rich Rod just led Jacksonville State to the CUSA title.
Not me.
I didn't even know he was working.
Jacksonville State's the one that's not in Jacksonville, right?
Yes. Correct.
It's in Alabama.
Manny, where do they play? Manny's a conscientious objector of the show now because the Knicks lost to Trae Young.
Is he auditing the show like when you just go and sit in the back of a room in a college course? He's just hanging out?
Yes, Ray is technically on the ones and twos today.
I'm sorry about this Rich Rod move. Like, doesn't it just feel like West Virginia said, we give up, just bring back Rich Rod? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, wasn't he suing them not that long ago? Okay. I thought I remember that.
Yeah, they had a significant fight over his buyout when he went to Michigan, which he didn't do nicely either.
I think this is kind of a nice reunion story, guys. Why does it have to be all negative?
Because Rich Rod's
what happened?
He's kind of a wet blanket, though, isn't he?
He won a lot of games at West Virginia. Didn't they beat Georgia like they in a bowl game?
Yeah, sugar bowl. I mean,
when bowl games mattered.
I was in middle school when that happened, Maggie.
Didn't mean it happen, EJ.
He's like in the Bobby Petrino, like, man, it worked really good for about 2 years, and then everyone figured out his offense kind of thing, right?
I kind of agree with that, too.
Yeah. This is very unexciting. This is incredibly unexciting.
But like, this is glory days West Virginia.
Well, then the problem is North Carolina hired Belichick, and you got on the same day you got Rich Rod back. I just don't think that's going to work.
They should have held off on the announcement.
Yeah, they should have spaced
hours.
It out a little bit.
Pat White and Steve Slayton are not walking through that door.
Wait, by the way, we never talked about it. Did UCF... Did they bring back our
Scott Frost?
Yeah, that's
Scott
Frost. That's crazy, too. That's right out of the Rich Rodriguez.
No, guys, nostalgia is in. This is like everyone is just going back to what worked.
But you
got no new ideas.
They're hiring people who very much did not work at their other schools. It just feels like, you know, you got to find the next Dan Lanning. Whatever happened to this? Somebody's got to hire the next Dan Lanning, not all these retreads.
Well, they made Forrest Gump, too, so here we are.
Sure.
It looked like Forrest Gump, too. How was I supposed to know it was a totally different movie?
By the trailer and the title.
It is
and
kind
the
of
visuals on the screen.
I don't watch TV with sound.
It basically is Forrest Gump, too. Let's not kid ourselves.
Thank you.
Do not back off of this.
No.
You are strongly with me.
Oh, Perloff will abandon your ship in 2 seconds.
And then be back on it by next Tuesday.
Well, no, it was funny how certain Maggie was like talking about, like, so,
angry.
Yeah, when they do Forrest Gump 2, like, you, it didn't even cross your mind that that wasn't Forrest Gump 2.
Yeah,
and I kind of get that.
We are confusing the heck out of Ray right now, who's sitting in here. I thought the trailer for the new movie with Tom Hanks and Robin Wright was actually a remake of Forrest Gump, as if Jenny lived. And it turns out that was not the case, but I was really convinced it was.
You probably should have kept that to yourself.
Ray, welcome to the show. There's a lot of things I could have kept to myself. No one needed to know that I wear a size 9 shoe. I mean, all these things. Wow. I didn't have to tell people.
You couldn't really keep that to yourself. But,
like, we're on stream, Maggie. We can all see.
Yeah.
This is a visual medium.
Poking out
as well.
From under the desk. There's a lot of things I
don't need a wide shot, Maggie, to figure that out.
Just the panoramic lens. All right. There we go. 855-212-4227. Lots more to do, including what a game we've got tonight. This is going to be an awesome one, Thursday Night Football. Somebody wake up, Al. Bill Belichick takes the job at North Carolina, and I think he has a secret weapon. We'll get to that in just one moment.
Mike Lombardi?
Well, no, a little bit. Maybe more of a weapon than that. I'll tell you who I mean in a moment. But quickly, the North Carolina schedule just became a lot more interesting to people outside of the state of North Carolina. Starting off with the TCU Horned Frogs, which I thought was funny, Pearl, because when Deion Sanders, another celebrity head coach, kind of on the level of Belichick, took over Colorado, his first game was also against TCU, who had been the national champion runner-up. And the fact that Colorado beat TCU kind of set and got people really excited about Colorado's first season. Then they're at the Charlotte 49ers, Richmond Spiders, UCF Knights, California Golden Bears, NC State. They host Clemson. They host Duke. They host Stanford. They host UVA. They go to Syracuse, and they go to Wake Forest. There are a lot of wins on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, but there are also a lot of potential pitfalls. I mean, TCU, starting with TCU. TCU, you never, coming into the season, they could be awesome or sure. They could be middling. You never know. Duke got that really good quarterback, right? Which I thought was interesting. They got the best quarterback in the portal, Mensah. I know you watch a lot of ACC football, so you could probably help me out.
Is that from Tulane?
Yeah,
it's from Tulane.
And then the funny thing to me is like a trip out to Cal. Also, you never know what's going on with Central Florida. Like they could all of a sudden be good too.
Yep, Scott.
There's
Frost,
just a lot of different things going on here.
EJ can tell you, Syracuse Dome, not friendly.
Well, not friendly. This is
my winter.
Yeah. How many big wins have they had before this one over Miami?
Well, listen,
like
what
one
have you done
in 27 years.
This is the only one that mattered.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely winnable. Then again, it's definitely like, oh, he could end up losing three games. He could just be Mac Brown.
Well,
which would not be terrible. Mac Brown's going to be a college football Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, I think that the expectation, quite frankly, has to be a lot higher than just Mac Brown. And I know Mac Brown won a title at Texas. I get the resume, but you're bringing in Belichick. This is the big swing. It's got to be more than just, all right, we'll settle for 9 wins. It's got to be. And I'm somebody who thinks this is going to work, but I'm not naive to the expectations have to be much higher. This is a big thing for Belichick, too. He's got to prove that he can do this.
So if they were 9-3, you wouldn't think that was a success?
For the first season. Okay. I think first season you get a little bit of a grace period. You should. And then second season, what are you doing? I think we kind of did that for Deion, too. And I think Deion got better in the second season. And let's be honest, Deion has the cult of personality. He's got the incredible Hall of Fame career as a player, all that stuff. But I don't think Deion's like the most amazing X's and O's coach. And Deion hires a lot of NFL guys, quite frankly, to be coaches on the sideline. I think Belichick's going to do the same thing.
Uh-oh. I don't know. I'm looking at 2026 schedule, which, of course, because college football is already out. They play Notre Dame, and they go to Clemson. I think he's got to win in 25, Maggie.
Those are a chance for signature wins that will put you into the playoffs.
Oh, and they got Louisville and Miami in 2026. They don't have them in 25. Uh-oh.
Another strategic coup by Belichick to take over this year. When you have the light schedule, this is like Texas going into the SEC. They got the easy schedule this year. Next year, they're going to get the hard schedule.
I do think, by the way, 2026, who knows what the playoffs are going to look like. They could be 16 by then, too, which gives them a better chance. Or it could give them a worse chance because you could go into the 16-team playoff and get blown out. And they'd be like, everybody makes the playoff. It's going to be really fun to watch because North Carolina football has been irrelevant. I think he's going to go 9-3, and the media is going to say, like, wow, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. But the reality is he's going to be basically Mac Brown.
855-212-4227. I have my secret weapon for Bill Belichick.
What's that?
We don't have a lot of time to unpack it all, but because I teased it, I'm going to offer this up for the people who are listening, because I don't want to leave you hanging. The secret weapon for Bill Belichick is Nick Saban. Nick Saban, I wouldn't be shocked if he takes some kind of consulting role with North Carolina. They'll still have him on game day, don't worry. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up being somehow part of the program in some type of way. And he can help Belichick. He can be a sounding board for Belichick, whatever Belichick needs. This is a friendship and a loyalty that goes back, you know, to the 80s.
Yeah, and Nick Saban's such an expert at today's landscape. He's going to really help him with NIL, the sole reason he left the sport.
Oh, Saban?
Yeah, like what's Saban going to do? He wants no part of the way the game is played right now.
But he can help Bill navigate it. By the way, Manny, the 1980s were a decade that happened. Long ago, Reagan was president.
Who?
Manny came in before he goes, I'm sorry, who's JFK?
You mean, that's the airport.
To Manny, all of human history started in the year 2000. What a glorious year it was. Talking Bill Belichick. We're going to talk about tonight's game. Rams at 49ers. Massive playoff implications on the line. We'll break it all down for you next.